Yes, Lord. Father, you are worthy this morning. You are worthy of all of our praise, Lord. We exalt your name, Father. It's what we were created to do, to lift you up in praise, to exalt your name, Father God. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of our lives, Father God. You are worthy of all of our praise. You are worthy of every aspect of our life, Father God. You and you alone, Father God, are worthy. Worthy, 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 Lord. Worthy is the King, Father God, of all that we are, of everything that we have, Lord God. We give you praise and glory. Praise and glory this morning, Father God. You are our creator, our sustainer, Father God. Our strong tower, our healer, our deliverer, Father. We exalt your name, Lord. Father, that this morning would be about you. That you would be glorified this morning, Holy Spirit. That you would be given all the praise, Father. That we would see you shining, that we would see you moving in this place. That we would see you moving in a way, Father God, that brings breakthrough into our lives. That heavenly pursuit would be released in this place this morning, Father. Lord, that you would position our hearts, that you would position us, Father, to receive everything that you have for us this morning. Lord, as we've come before you with praise and worship, that it would be a sweet sound unto you, Father God. And Lord, that is preparing our hearts for everything else that you have in store for us today. Lord, let your light shine in such a way, Father God, that people see your works in our lives. Father, that would ring true in our spirits, that we would wake up every morning with that cry in our hearts that we exalt you. We exalt you, Father. That every aspect of our life, Lord, is lived to exalting you, to glorifying you, Father. That in our words and our actions, Father, everything would be about exalting you, because you are the worthy one, Lord. You are the worthy one, Father. That is our declaration. That is our truth. That is our rock. That is our foundation. That you are the worthy one. That you are the King. So, Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit just to have your way with the rest of this morning, Father, that you would prepare our hearts, that we would be positioned in a place, Father God, where we are vulnerable to your move, to your spirit, to your voice. Thank you, Lord, for consecrating our hearts for such a time as this. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
It's people who say, you know, we're going to come together in a common place and we're going to let our roots go down. And I personally connect with this word because this is what allowed me to really connect with Frontline. What I felt was going to be my last trip to Mozambique and a trip with the FMI period, I came to a very powerful revelation of a tree. And I had actually received three revelations of trees. One about being an oak tree, beginning to rise up. The other one was watching a young man in Mozambique water a fruit tree, and he drops the bomb on me that it takes about 3.5 years for a fruit tree to go down deep enough to find its own water source, and at that point it blooms and produces fruit. I had been uprooting every 3 to 4 years, everywhere I went, uprooting, just before I was about ready to bloom. I would get discontent, uproot. And then I come back, and Mike Wheeler's talking about the oaks of righteousness, this very thing, the planting of the Lord. And what I've discovered in the last few years since then, it's been 4 years since then, thank you, Jesus, the cycle's been broken. But anyway, what I found is that when you have a group of people who are willing to settle down, not settle, but settle down, let their roots go down, it creates a sanctuary for others to rise. It creates a safe place for others to rise. So if you feel in your heart, I've got to accomplish this one thing and then move on, know this, that when people come together as one, they create a forest. If they're trees, they create a forest. And a forest is a much cooler place. And it becomes a sanctuary for life to exist automatically. You don't have life existing, flourishing out in the open fields. They flourish in the forests because it's a place where people can let their roots go down and they can rise. And I am a living proof of that. I became a person who was allowed to rise.
Very good word, Peter. And Darlene was reminding me that Bill Johnson last training weekend also about a forest on one side, desert on the other, and that water was drawn to the forest.
Yes.
Awesome. You guys can sit down. I'm going to share. We have a team right now that's getting ready to head back from Ghana, West Africa. And Pastor Bill is there along with three others from our church. And we've been involved in a Kingdom Bible School there. And last year, as they went, we developed a packet that had a tree on the front that had a picture of the tree with the roots growing down and teaching about being trees, oaks of righteousness, and drawing from the Lord. And so that's been a work that's, you know, been continuing in Ghana. And what he's doing here is impacting what he's doing there. And before I share the updates and before I share pictures, I just want to go back to the story of what God has done in Ghana, because we go to so many countries that sometimes we forget what he's doing, and we can't keep it in front of our eyes. And so I just want to pull it back today and say that we were divinely connected with Pastor Samuel Gwakapom from Ghana in 1998. We took a team over to Ghana in 1999 and began working with him and working with his ministry. And the Lord was doing a lot. And also, one testimony that happened was we were involved in a lot of drama ministry. We were doing a drama, and one man walked by, gave his life to the Lord, and turns out this was a man from, he grew up in the upper north. His village was in the upper northern region of Ghana, which is very remote, and he gave his life to the Lord, started working with Pastor Samuel, and asked, I believe, that we could go up to the north. It was a connection up to the north, and so we traveled up to the north, and I don't think that And Pastor Samuel had a dream in his heart to be able to go up to that northern region, because it's a place of a lot of darkness, a lot of witchcraft. The southern part of Ghana has had a lot of missionaries and a lot of, you know, truth spoken there. The upper part is a place that's a lot of witchcraft, and it's been that way for a long, long time. And it's a remote part that people haven't been able to get to as much. And we were able to travel up there, and those of us who were there, I don't think we'll ever forget that 24-hour bus ride it took to get up there. And I distinctly remember looking out the window, and not that I think that book, Left Behind, has it totally figured out, but I looked out the window and I thought, you know, if that happened, like in Left Behind, when everybody's, you know, gone and the airplanes, you know, everything's all messed up and traffic's messed up and everything because people are suddenly gone, I was like, these people up here would have no idea, because this is like so far out there. There's like no connection. It felt so, so remote. I've never been to any place that remote. So that's a distinct memory in my mind, looking out at the trees thinking, oh my gosh, we're going out there. So while we were there, we broke through. You know, we were able to proclaim Jesus. We were able to see salvation, see healing, see the truth spoken out. And one of the things that happened was there was a Muslim chief in the area, and he gave us land. And that land is back on that picture behind Andy up there. He gave us land to develop. He wanted us to come and develop things in his community. And there was a Muslim chief at the time, and he accepted the Lord before he died. And that land has been given to us. Now we're having a Kingdom Bible School on it for the last 5 years. And so we've been pushing forward as a body. The Lord has allowed us to partner with him to bring light to that dark place. And we were, as we were doing that, the team that went in, the teams that have gone have ministered in a village called Nyenye. That village. And because of the word going out there, a church started. Well, the man who lived there was one of the high people involved in witchcraft, was known around the area, was a very important person for the dark side. And a church was established there because of the Lord taking us there, because of one man's hunger in his heart to know the Lord that walked by our drama, who invited us up. The Lord was responding to the cries of the people up there who are in bondage in darkness. All this is happening, and the Lord has created an open heaven there for people who are hungry to hear the gospel preached, to be able to be saved, to come out of darkness. And so in 2009, our team went and had a powerful night of ministry in that very village. And Bethany was there. And they were able to speak directly to the chief, I believe, at that time, or had contact. No? Bellare. 2009. Okay. Right. Right. So 2009, there was a powerful night. There's powerful ministry in that village. Coming back, both our pastors contracted malaria, and it was an attack from the enemy that we as a church stood for and saw them healed supernaturally. Pastor Mary Pat was life flighted and everything, and her family was told they had to say goodbye, and instead they surrounded her, spoke life. We were praying life here, and she was miraculously healed. Pastor Bill was healed. They went back in 2010 to the same village and were able to speak to Valari specifically that time. Felt the Lord specifically told them to speak strongly to him about repentance. He chose not to. And they're finding out more of the story this year in Ghana that he passed away shortly thereafter, suddenly. There's apparently three strong leaders of witchcraft in that village. The other two also died. The form of witchcraft there is called juju, and so the two other leaders also died, and the eldest son of this man who is trying to take his place is currently right now sick, and they said he's vomiting blood because they were telling Pastor Bill and the team, you know, this is what has happened. And there was another son who tried to take the place and couldn't do it, and instead they said that he left that and ran to the church. So, and there's another man involved who was in charge of a demonic festival there that was big in the area. He's in charge of it, and he also left that and has come running to the church. And so not that we are or that the Lord is against people, but there's a collision going on between kingdoms, between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, and that God has allowed us to partner with him to be the ones to usher in that light there in that region where there's been centuries of darkness. And just to borrow, you know, a phrase from Andy, why on God's green earth have we been allowed to participate in this? And just the gratitude that we are able to be a part of what the Lord says, where there's darkness, that a great light is going to shine and arise, and that we are part of that. And so as I share about the Kingdom Bible School, I want you to have all that in mind, all the whole background of what the Lord has done. And so what they're releasing right now and what they have released the past 2 weeks is very important. It's not just, oh, we went and ministered. It's we are releasing a purity of worship in an area where there's been worship for years to idols and to the devil, and we are releasing worship to the true God.
She's taking over to finish this, but I have to inject one thing here, and that is when I called Pastor Jose, or he called me this week, we speak a lot, he's still in the country, I was telling him about this news, about these leaders of this wickedness, and how Pastor Bill reported to me that they fell over suddenly. I mean, we never celebrate anybody. Hopefully they came to know Jesus before they fell over. But when I was telling Pastor Jose about this, he said, that's exactly what happens in Pemba, in Mozambique. He says, I've seen that before. He said, when the gospel of the kingdom is, there's an attempt for revival to come, but when revival is intended by God to come, and there's an attempt to thwart that, whatever way, there may be difficulties, there may be really hard situations that go on. For us, it was the malaria in 2009 and all the things that went with that. But there were other things after that, and God just said no more. And there were lots of warnings also with Bellare. God bless him. Hopefully he's with Jesus. But we had established this church in his village a long time before, and I don't remember the year, maybe Rachel does, where there was a great big message given to the whole village about the power of Elijah. Do you remember the year for that? But it was a big collision in the spirit, the kingdom collision. And many were saved out of the darkness, and they had to change their minds of what was going on. And so God gave attempts for people to pull in and say, what are you doing? What are you doing? And then in 2010, when we went back, there were several of us that surrounded Bulari. I think Dylan, I know Dylan was with us, and some others who aren't here right now. And they were standing around. And at that point, I said to him, it's really important that you come to the crusade tonight because we're back. It's 2010. We're back. And he was very agreeable face to face, but I knew in my spirit that it was really serious for him, and he never came. And so I believe he could have been saved out of that if he wanted to. But God is very serious about the gospel of the kingdom in the area of revival.
That message about Elijah was 2004, I'm picking up. So anyway, I just wanted to paint that picture to know that you guys have invested in this as well, whether you've been to Ghana or not been to Ghana. All your prayers for the teams that have gone, your prayers for the Gokis in their life, and all of that has been a part of what is happening the last 2 weeks. And we heard about what they've done up to Tuesday. On Wednesday, Josh spoke in the morning about purity in worship, and they had a speaking about purity, and then they had a meeting with the pastors, were able to speak appreciation into them. They met back into the evening, and Deanne was able to share about healing and had them pray for one another, and there was testimonies of that. And then Josh was able to lead from that into the filling of the Holy Spirit, and it was just they said on the website that it was a simple and beautiful response to the purity of God, that people were filled with the Holy Spirit and they were able to speak in spiritual language that they hadn't been able to before. They all started singing out in it, and people were being delivered with no one praying for them. People were falling over with no one praying, you know, laying hands on them or anything, and it was just a powerful and beautiful time. And then the next morning, Josh build on the previous day's message of purity to talk about a message of repentance in Psalm 51, which has created in me a new heart, O God. And then they all, the Ghanaians and Pastor Bill and Josh, joined together for worship, and they were coming up with new songs and new worship, and it was a new, you know, joining of worship. And then that evening, Pastor Bill taught about throne room worship and, you know, worshiping in the throne room, and people were having encounters with the Lord through that time. On Friday, they was the last day of the Kingdom Bible School, and they talked, all three, Josh, Deanne, and Carly, who are there, taught on honor and glory and being changed in God's presence, and they were able to impart that. And then they had the night before, they had shown the Jesus film, which we had shown in the South at one time, and they were wanting to be shown in the North, so this year we got to take that, and we left it there with them for further use. Yeah, we showed that film in the South in Nima, in the Muslim district of Ghana, which was an adventure and a half, so you can ask someone after about that. But they were able to show that Jesus film there and leave it there for them to use in the, which in Africa, if you set up a big screen and you have sound going in a movie, it's like a huge, this is out, this is where everything is, no electricity, you know, and so this is a big draw and a big way to share the gospel. And so after that, they presented certificates for all who were there, and there's 141 people that received Kingdom Bible School certificates, so praise God. And there's probably pictures you can flash up as we... Yep. Carly is leading a session for the group. That's our pavilion on our land. Deanne's teaching. Woo! The theme is worship, and so they're leading worship during one of the sessions. Pastor Bill is teaching the word at Kingdom Bible School. Woo-hoo! After group prayer for healing, a line of students forms to share their testimonies with Josh. There's lots of healings that I didn't share. You can read it on the website. This man had chest pain all day and testified that the pain was gone. This man said he had bone pain for just under a year, and it was gone. This man had a severe headache and body aches, but is sharing that Jesus healed him, which in Africa, they don't have doctors. Body aches and headaches can, you know, are not just body aches like we have here. This is testifying about healing during the afternoon session. This woman had a headache that was gone after prayer. Pauline is from a far, far village, and she was brought to the Kingdom Bible School from her mother, who had heard of someone who was healed last year her mind was, someone had a healing last year for their mind and their sanity, and she was brought for prayer. She was had a demonic encounter and has since been out of her mind, and she was brought, she had to be restrained because of her behavior. She was violent, and they've been praying for her and seen progressive healing. You can keep going. Because of Pauline's mental state, she was brought to school with these shackles around her ankles. Keep going. And so they've been praying for her, seen progression with her. They were able to take, you know, off her restraints, and she's been smiling and praying. They asked us to pray, join and pray for her full freedom there. Josh is teaching a session on purity and worship, how purity is linked to victory. Pastor Bill teaches during the Wednesday morning session. The pastors and key leaders for the village spent the afternoon getting imparted to by the team. Pastor Bill is sharing with them. That's our building that's on the land. During the afternoon session, they prayed for healing for each other. This man had pain in his stomach, like a pin pricking him. I assume it's gone. praying for each other. She suffered with chest pains and a headache, and after prayer, all of that was gone. This woman had been coughing for a month. She came up to testify that during prayer, her cough was gone. Everybody had to come in because of a rainstorm, and this is what a full house looks like for Kingdom Bible School, they said. He's talking about receiving baptism in the Holy Spirit, and many people experience that in a new way in this session. This is Pauline again. Yes, so Pauline had an encounter with, they said demonic things were chasing her, and so she had an encounter, which is happens up there, and she was not in her right mindset. She was not able to talk. She wasn't, you know, coherent. She was violent. That's why they have her restrained, because she was violent. And so they prayed for her every day, and so they were able to get through and lead her in a prayer for salvation. They've been praying for her every day and seeing progressive deliverance. And on the update, it said, please join with us in prayer for her as for her full deliverance. She's been smiling and talking and coming back. So we're believing for her. And that her mother brought her because of a testimony from last year's Bible school of someone being set free. So that they brought her from a far away village to come and receive freedom in prayer. So that's Pastor Bill.
Well, Ghana is on the phone, apparently. She took a baby. So, hi, Josh.
Hello.
Hello. Let's get a little higher. Try it again. Hello.
Hello, church. Hello, family.
Hello.
We have just walked our enormous land here in Ghana.
Wow.
Woo. Almost overtaken by the tall weeds and grass.
We're just looking at the pictures.
How's everyone doing?
Good. Woo! They're doing well.
Amen. Well, tell my wife and my two boys that I love them.
We love you, and
I love everyone else too.
Hi, honey. We're right here. We love you.
Hi.
Hi, babe.
Josiah even said hi to you. So.
Hello, everyone. When you see the pictures, pay attention to Pauline. She's our special friend. She was playing the xylophone this morning with me.
Pauline's the one we were just talking about that came not in a right mind and demonized. So, yeah, we just went through the story and the pictures.
She came in ankle irons. And today she was playing the xylophone with me after church.
Amen.
So we are praying for a total completion of the healing that God started. But she has come so far already that just to see her makes me want to cry.
Amen.
So I will pass the phone on to Pastor Bill.
Hello, Frontline Worship Center. We miss you and we'll be home soon, but we had two great services today, one on the land and one in tuna.
Hi, sweetheart. I love you.
Hi there. Love you too.
Mwah. Hey, we're watching this. We're looking at the slides, the pictures right now. This is perfect time.
Oh. Yes, enjoy them.
We are. We're looking at the tents coming down and the chief of Sala. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, good stuff happening. So we'll see you on Friday. Do you have a
Absolutely.
Word?
Did you check your text?
I did. Did you want me to tell them all
Okay.
that?
Well, I think it's kind of cool.
Okay, I'll tell them. Do you have a word for us? Everybody's listening to you, Papa Bill.
Do I have a word for you?
Yeah.
Not at the moment. I think we are learning what sacrifice is here.
No, that's the
They
word.
Walk for miles.
Wait,
they take trotros.
What did he say?
He's saying that the team went through a lot of sacrifice for this year. Walked many miles and came on a lot of small transports.
No, not the team. Not the team.
No, the people for the school. The people for the school.
The people coming to the school, when they come to the churches, they come from so far away, and we keep hearing stories of the dedication of people coming so far away to sacrifice to come to church. Some are here early. People were here 2 and 3 days early for the Kingdom Bible School just to soak up the atmosphere before we showed up. So just the sacrifice on the part of the believers here to draw into the Lord's presence is quite a lesson.
Hey, hon, do you, what's the ending vision on the land? What was their heart for worship and such? That's what I think we want to hear. Well, how did they respond to worship and what was their heart, what was it like?
It came to the point where we put the two worship styles together. There was such unity that we had the two worship styles coming together with us singing and playing up front and them singing and playing with us and going back and forth. And it was amazing how the two distinctly different ways of worship came together near the end of the school when we would worship in the meeting. And that they believe there's always more now, I think. There's new ways of expressing worship to the Lord, and it just keeps going higher, keeps building. They seem very encouraged with that. With being drunk in the Spirit, with purity in worship, and they know there's higher places to go. They can go and do heavenly worship. They were very encouraged with that. So they responded so well to so many things. And they were so humble receiving their certificate.
Wow. Well, we received that word for us, too, in Jesus' name.
Yes. Yes. Here's Carly.
Bye, love.
Bye-bye.
Hello, everyone. I am having so much fun here in Ghana.
Very good.
Yes. One of the fun things that did not make it in any of the updates was that every night for 2 to 3 hours, the Ghanaians would have a time of worship and prayer from like 9 o'clock at night till 11 or 11:30 at night, every night that they were here. So they were having their own big celebrations, almost like night watches or lighthouse prayer times, but they're very fiery in their prayer and their worship, so it was really encouraging to us to even just to hear and soak it in.
Amen.
Amen. So, yay!
Yay! Well, travel well. We'll see you in a few days.
All right.
All right.
Sounds good.
Say bye.
Love you. Bless you. Bye.
Amen.
It's so funny to be on the other end. It really is. You're out in the middle of nowhere, and you're talking. You know, church is going on. It's kind of a unique feeling to be on the other end and know that everyone's sitting in their chairs listening. But I wanted to tell you what Pastor Bill was referring to. I was pulling into the driveway, and there was this text from him, and he wanted us to know that the chief of Solov, which is somewhere up there. Why don't you see if you can put that back if you find it. The chief of Solo with Pastor Bill and Josh, if you see it. I don't know if you know where it is, but anyway, there's a chief over the region that gave us the land, and he no longer is alive. He came to know Jesus. He got saved, which was really cool, over the phone while we were sitting in our offices here on Frontline Property, and we had gone so many times with our teams to pray for him. And he loved us, and he got healed, and he loved our teams and all of that. But he said, oh, I am Muslim, so I don't change. I like Islam. And so he seemed to get healed every time we prayed. Well, there was this connection on the telephone because people who had cell phones, just a couple of them, Pastor Stephen, I believe, he ran to him because I guess the chief was dying. And so he wanted us to pray again. So we offered him the gospel again. And he says, I want to receive. So God saved him. So he gave up, he renounced Islam, which is really amazing. He didn't get healed physically, but he went home to be with Jesus. And he's the one that gave us the land. Can you imagine that? So the Lord touched a Muslim chief, 22 acres of land for us. That's a very big deal. And you don't want to take that lightly. You don't want to minimize that. If you weren't around at that time, you want to know that you're part of that. That's part of the vision here. That's your inheritance. It's a big deal. And so after that, this guy became the chief. And he speaks English, and he's very Muslim, and he's been healed too, and we're believing for his salvation. And he's very influential in the area, and every year we go and we see him and pray for him and all that. Well, here's the news, okay? Well, there's two pieces. Last year, the Muslim chief who's now in heaven, former Muslim chief who's now in heaven, his son came on our land. And he was going to work on the roof that you saw in the Kingdom Bible School. And it's a long story. I'll just give you the bottom line. He ended up giving his life to Jesus. And so that was huge. And his mother, who was the wife of the dead Muslim, former Muslim chief, I think it was the year before, wasn't it, Dylan, or a couple years before, where she had given her life to Jesus. This is after her husband died. And that was a very strange situation, too. She was just walking by our bus where we were staying, and I got off the bus, led her to Jesus, and then she walked on. Well, anyway, she had told her son about this, and her son, the next generation, and that's what you want to hear, the next generation of Islam from that royal family, if you will, got saved. And that's only God can do that. It's a big deal. And so when the gospel of the kingdom is determined by God to go forward, and people will back up that vision and say, okay, the Lord will make sure that it happens. He really will, and things will have to bow to him. And so here's the news. There's a chief over a larger area of what's called Bole, which is a regional area, and he's been friendly to us over the years. His son is named Jeremiah, and I'm not sure exactly what Jeremiah does. Dylan, do you know exactly what his work is? I know he works in a business. He's a businessman. We believe he's a Christian, and Pastor Bill and others have connected with him, Dylan and others have connected with him, but he stays down in Accra, which is the capital city, which is where we've started all this. And anyway, his father, the Bole chief, passed away this year. I don't know really the details, but he was very sick and he passed away. So Jeremiah, who works, I thought it was a governmental job, but I don't want to be incorrect on that. I should have asked Pastor Bill that because he knows. But anyway, Pastor Bill is meeting with him in Accra on Wednesday. He asked us for prayer for that. The reason is because this man has helped us with our land. He's helped us with what we're going to be doing in the future for more building, because there's a definite plan for what God's doing. And so, you know, we're taking steps that way. We already have. But we found out, or Pastor Bill found out and just texted me, that he is the brother of the president of Ghana. Yeah. And we have had words spoken over us that we're going to have meetings with kings and priests and people in high places and royalty to influence nations. And God has opened up the door already through Jeremiah. We had no idea he was the brother of the president. He had a different mother, but he still is the blood brother of the president of Ghana. What that's going to look like, I don't know. The favor of God is on us. We know that. And the enemy will try to stop it. He tried in 2009 to try to kill us. Didn't work. But he's very relentless. But the Lord is very serious in making sure things go forward. So, Father, we just lift up this meeting on Wednesday because we know it's very significant. We don't know exactly what you want to do, but we know it's for kingdom purposes. And we know, Lord, that you have orchestrated this. You have put people in place. Father, you have chosen us to carry something in Ghana and see it explode, and we don't want to take that lightly. So I thank you, Lord, that for any collision of the kingdoms that might want to take place, that you protect our team and you protect us here so that we can carry revival fully. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And Troy has a message about the Brazil team.
If you're going to Brazil with us in January, please come up real quick. There are 9 of us that are heading to Sao Paulo, Brazil. We're going to be working with Pastor Jerseo and Inez, who are here for our Relentless Pursuit Conference. So just wanted, it's about 6 weeks away. Time is flying. So we're getting close, so I won't stand in front of anyone. But I just wanted you to see the team so you could start praying for each person. And also, just taking that before the Lord, we're going to be living for 2.5 weeks in the slum, working in 2 different slums, really reaching out to the prostitutes, the gang members, the children, whoever we run into. And we've just seen a lot of tremendous revival taking place there, even as you guys heard about from Pastor Jerseo. Also, just to help us get there, Angie and Andrew Miller, raise your hands. Brother, sister, they are going to be heading up our Rent a Missionary group. So if you guys need any leaves cleaned up, you need any work done around the house, babysitting, whatever, please grab these guys. Let Andrew and Angie know. There'll be a paper in the back that has their phone number or email. And then just feel free to, if the Lord puts it on your heart to support anyone individually or the team as a whole, you can always do that. We've got a little bit to raise. So thanks for your support. Man.
Thank you. Before we release the kids, because I want the kids to hear, anybody who has ears to hear, some of the little ones might not, just hang on, but some of the older ones want to catch this vision. I'm going to ask Ina and Kim to come up, if Kim's here. Kim is here? Okay. And they can share a little bit about what we're doing locally, because I think the little ones, we'd like to see the little ones involved and be helping, because we do a lot overseas, and we do a lot here. And we don't want to minimize that at all. It's just very exciting, I think, when you get a phone call from Ghana and you want to hear all those good things about world evangelism. So we want to hear what God is doing here in just a few weeks with Gift of Christmas. Deanne's involved in that, but she's in Ghana, obviously. So I'm going to ask these ladies to share what is happening with that.
First of all, before I forget, announcement I'm supposed to give from somebody else. This has to do with the Gift of Christmas. We usually have a donation room. The Gift of Christmas is our outreach to this local area. We invite not only the people from the local homeless shelters, but we have other people who call our church regularly each year and come to the Gift of Christmas. This is an amazing outreach. This place is packed from side to side, top to bottom, back to front, everywhere. It's just amazing how many people come and are ministered to. We bless these people with a day of just kicking back and being blessed. We bless them with shopping for Christmas gifts. We bless them with a donation room. We bless them with an awesome banquet that is just, the whole place is filled up Phenomenal. We bless them. We take them back and forth for the shopping. We bring them back here. We help them wrap their gifts. They can wrap them themselves. The kids get a great program. The children get a great program. We have a photographer that will take pictures all day long and take pictures of the families. They can come back here to our donation room. There are people that have left here with clothing that they didn't have that they could go interview for jobs. We've had people that have come through the gift of Christmas that have become members of our church family. And we've had them come. And at the end, if you would see all of them that come up, at the end we have a message, a short message. We have a skit, a drama, somewhat dance. And we offer them the message of love and of Jesus. And if you would just see, I've been blessed to be standing up here many of those times to watch the people come forward. They just run to Jesus' love. So we have a chance to bless this community. And it's been on the radio. It's been you've been interviewed on the radio for this. We are known for this. We do this well. But it does take everybody to pitch in. So just know that that's coming December. Oh, Lord. Thank you. December 7th, but we are in full gear. We have many volunteers. There's a sign-up sheet out in the hallway to volunteer for that day. We will have people go, you know, minister people even while they're shopping. I've seen Christy minister amazingly, just because you're standing there. Even during the shopping day, Jesus is just put out there, and these people are just loved and loved and loved, and it's really great. And you see tears come to big burly guys' eyes, and women with many children, and it's just really a great day. It's a great day.
Yeah, I just have an announcement for I'm in charge of the food and the meal, and the team has been doing an amazing job getting all the donation in. But we need cookies, Christmas cookies. If you want to donate Christmas cookies, you can sign. I'm going to put sign-up sheet in the front, and you can just put, you know, how many dozens you want to give. And excuse me, you can bring it on Friday night. We're going to be here packing up food, or Saturday on that day. You can just bring it to me. And please, one more thing, that you have to put it in a Ziploc bag, so we don't have to return anything to you. So that's all.
Is it okay?
Okay, we're just trying to release here. We're not making all the announcements that we have for the Sunday. We wanted to have vision casting here. So the ladies will write something up, I'm sure, and let you know, since we have a little bit of time. But before the teachers leave, if there is anyone in here who is hungering for more of the Holy Spirit this week, I will give you this. It's called Like a Mighty Wind, if you want it. It won't cost you anything. I'm asking that you'd read it so it doesn't sit on your shelf. But if you want one, this is really very, very helpful. I saw them in the office, and that's what the Lord spoke to my heart. So if you are looking, I want to sink my teeth into something about the Holy Spirit, the wind of the Spirit, and revival. You can have that. So children, you are dismissed to Kingdom Land. Amen. Yeah? If you want one, but raise your hand. If you don't, don't raise your hand. You need to read for this. Don't let it sit. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Question? Yeah, start in the back. Okay. If there's four in a family, that might be a little hard because this is all we have. But hopefully we'll have enough for everybody. And Michelle can help. Thank you. Okay. I have a short message here. Whoa. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. There's so much going on, which is a really good thing. The Lord wants to encourage us and strengthen us, wants us to be able to rally together. And pull in the Spirit what's happening, what he's doing. So, Father, I just thank you for this morning so far, for the electrifying worship, Lord, for the, Father, for your presence being so strong and so beautiful, for everything, Lord, that you have released to us, that we are taking in our hearts with a spirit and a
desire for gratitude, more, Lord, gratitude in our hearts. Father, I thank you for the reminders of the early beginnings, and Father, what you have done, what you have seen us through, Father, that we would not take that for granted, and Father, that we would call in everything that you have ordained us to be part of, to do, and Father, you would solidify our hearts, that spiritual unity that comes only from you in truth, Father, will be pervasive in each one of our hearts. Just praise you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Like a mighty wind. This is real interesting because I was in the office getting ready to rejoin in worship, and I saw that stack, and the Lord was saying, I am a mighty wind. I'm a mighty wind, and I will blow through you. I will blow through this place. If you want me to see you, if you want me to connect your hearts with what I'm doing, then you need to stay tethered to what I'm saying and what I'm doing. And very strongly in my heart, the fear of the Lord, which is a good thing, you know, it's not, oh, fear, but it's the fear of the Lord that God says, you have cried out for revival, you have cried out for my presence to become a habitation here. And I believe that God is saying, with that in mind, he doesn't forget those things. He remembers those things, and so does the enemy. And so when Rachel was talking about the collisions of kingdoms, that's what the Lord was really speaking to my heart when I saw these books, because that's what happened. And this was in Indonesia, and it was a while ago. But great things are happening there, and Mel Tari was part of ushering that in. And we had mentioned this at Relentless Pursuit, and we bought a bunch of these books to be able to sell back there. And so I think we're very privileged and very blessed people, and we know that the enemy would like to thwart that any way that he could, as he would anywhere around the world, as he tried to do in Ghana and could not. And so we're reaping some of the fruit of that now, and we're excited about that for the future, what God's going to do. It's very humbling. And he doesn't want us to forget those small beginnings. I was thinking of Carl was waving to me in the back, kind of like this, when Rachel was saying, yeah, we showed the Jesus film in Nima, which is a Muslim community that we ministered in Ghana many years. And as soon as she said it, I looked for him because he was used, I believe, to save my life. Because we showed this, and I was standing on the edge of this group of people, mostly children in the front, and I had some tracks in my hand. And these were poor kids, but they were also children who didn't have Jesus. So it wasn't similar to going out into a village, well, maybe some villages, but it was a situation where some of the kids wanted what I had, and they were going to stop at nothing to get it. And so, as I remember it, I stepped down off of this platform or stage, wasn't it? And they rushed me, and they would have trampled me to death, I'm sure of it. And I felt this hand come down and pull me up, pull me up and save my life from being trampled to death. And I never forgot it. And so, obviously, he didn't either. So, you know, I kind of looked and I saw him, because that's the first thing that came to my mind, is that God put him there to protect the Jesus in me and what was happening in the future. Here, that was, I don't know what year it was, Carl. Do you know? Do you guys, anybody know? 2001 or two or something. You may think, well, what's the deal? Who cares? It's a big deal. So here we are in 2013, and so God used him. But the real cool thing about that, in that usage, is that God surrounds, he has an order, and he surrounds us with people who will be able to see what's going on. Well, Carl saw the natural. They're going to kill my leader. She's going to die, possibly. And I'm not exaggerating. It was that frightening. I mean, they wanted what I had, and there were, I don't know, hundreds of them, more than that, thousands. I don't know what the number. It was just a massive I'm going to take it if I have to take her down. And so it was a really scary moment, but he pulled me literally out of it because he saw with his natural eyes what was happening. And the Lord is saying, let that be a picture for our spiritual eyes. So in 2009, there was another attempt to remove us in the frontline presence from Ghana and from the world. And that was in a physical way, from the malaria and things like that, that God saved us out of and healed us and everything, which was a really big deal. And here we are in 2013 seeing the fruit of that. So, you know, when you read, those of you who have, and maybe you've read it before, Like a Mighty Wind, you're going to see this, you're going to listen and read about, listen as the Spirit speaks to you, but read about the progression of things for revival. Now, this is the Indonesian revival, but the Lord is the Lord. It may not look exactly the same because we don't live in grass huts with mud floors, but he's very serious. So there were praying people, there were humble people, there were people just waiting on things of the Lord. And why God chose Indonesia then, why God chose Meltari then, or why Ina from Indonesia is here now, you know, why are we in Ghana? She said, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of things that we don't know, but his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And so he's wanting us to be able to see in the spirit, to be able to track with him, to be able to be, if necessary, saved out of a fire or a burning house or a difficult situation as God would want that for his kids. And that's what he has for us on every front. And he's always saying to us, boy, I came to release the abundant life, but I came to bring a sword. And when he came to bring a sword, he will use the sword of righteousness and truth to be able to slice through that which would want to thwart his plans, his purposes, and things like that. It's a big deal. You know, God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven is a big deal to the Lord. Very big deal. So when we say those things, I want on earth as it is in heaven, he holds us to those words. And so I was, you know, thinking about if any of you struggle with addictions of any kind, this is not a message to you, okay? Because sometimes we get in traps and things like that. But just for a sake of explaining something, if you've had an addiction or even you struggle now or something like that where you feel like, oh my gosh, whether it's an addiction to sexual things or alcohol or caffeine or food or drugs or whatever, something where you feel a compelling to move a certain way, do a certain thing, and it's not necessarily the Lord. God says, I want to change that up in you, whatever it would be, maybe even chronic pain, maybe a disease or something like that, something that just like it keeps coming, but I want to heal you, I want to set you free, I want to deliver you. That's what I want to do. So that you're not miserable. You know, Jesus didn't come as a miserable missionary. He's not miserable. He's very happy and very joyful, even in the midst of people spitting in his face, even in the midst of people reviling him, even in the midst of people pointing a finger, even in the midst of that, Jesus maintained and stayed connected with the Father. So he is joy. He's not just somebody who had joy, but he was able to exude joy and know that the joy was his strength, and then able to stay connected to the Father. So anything outside of that would be something that could maybe tether us to something that would be hurtful or harmful. We've spoken about that before. We've preached that here. That's one of the messages of the gospel of the kingdom, that Jesus comes to set us free in power. So let's just say that we have some struggles that target our body, our mind, our will, our emotions, the soul area of our life and our body with that. The soul is the body as well. But our mind, our will, our emotions, and our body. Let's suppose that we have these continued struggles going down and we have the Word of God going on. The bigger picture of what God wants to do with that is what will help pull us up and out and away from that. Okay? What his idea is to completely set us free. So here's the deal. When we speak of the Father's heart and the Father's love, and Pastor Bill has a wonderful father's heart message and a loving message, and he's very graceful and kind, and is able to sing over people as well and see them get free. And so when we have something that's very strong from the Father like that in this place, oh, this place is known by its love. This place is known for love. I feel love. I feel. That's really good, because we're hopefully receiving from the Father and then allowing the Father to remove and push out anything that would want to hinder that. And you've heard many messages about that as well. So when the Lord does that, when he's absolutely intentional about doing that, he's thinking for a bigger purpose. For example, let's just take someone who has an addiction to any of those types of things. An addiction would be a push. And it might be even in our mind. I think a certain way, or our body. I feel a certain way, or our emotions. This is what I'm experiencing, a certain way. And it might feel as though it doesn't stop. There's always a way of escape. There's always a way out, because God makes it happen that way. And so if we are not able to identify exactly what it is on the inside, or our body on the outside, then the enemy can connect with us and influence us. And Jesus really takes offense at that, if you will. He's not an offended person. But he says, no, nothing can hold my kids. And I'm going to help them get free. I'm going to help them change their mind. I'm going to help them get their bodies healed. I'm going to help them display the fruit of my righteousness. I'm going to help them. I'm not going to leave them alone. Well, okay, so what is the point? Well, if you go to any person who's in this kind of distress, whatever the distress is, name it. Maybe it's over you. Are you saying any distress is an addiction? I'm not talking about that. I'm saying we can be distressed here and there, but if there's something that continues and it seems to drive us and influence us and we can mull things over, God wants to interrupt that so that we are moving straight in a way that our roots are able, as Peter was saying so beautifully, our roots are able to go down and drink of the water that's really hidden below, and not be blown over by anything. And the enemy will try whatever he can. He was unsuccessful in 2001 and 2, let's say for my own life. He was unsuccessful in 2013, and he's going to remain unsuccessful, because the gospel of the kingdom is the top priority for love. So here's the deal. If we have something that's troubling us, think about what that might be. If we continue on down that road, whatever the road is, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, then God's continued attempts to interrupt that for us might just annoy us, because we might not see it. Carl was able to see, oh, she's going to get killed. Okay, others were able to see, oh, this is not a good thing in 2013. But think about you for your own life. What would the enemy want to do? He'd want to interrupt that love connection. So if we have a message of Father's love and we hear the words, now hear this, love, grace, mercy, that is just sounding great. And that's the gospel. But if you go to someone who's hurting, let's suppose I go to Peter and say, Peter doesn't know the Lord. I say, Peter, you know what? Jesus loves you. God loves you. You're like, wow, this is great. He loves me. If I don't take it a step further, I am kind of left with, that's nice. I could be moving into a New Age philosophy. I could be moving into Mormonism or Jehovah's Witness or something like that. Okay? Because, great, God loves me. But I have a responsibility as an influencer of the gospel of the kingdom to take it another step. What would that other step be? Jesus has come to this earth, and he has good news for you. Like, wow. He is going to free you of everything. Oh, well, I thought God loved me. Yes, but there's something that's interrupting that connection of love, and it's on your end. It's not on his end. And here's who he is, and here's what he did. It's like, whoa, we're getting a step closer. And then as you give the rest of the gospel of the kingdom, take another step. And you start then, you progress in the way that you're sharing who Jesus is and saying, hey, eternal life belongs to you. You get to live with him in heaven. Wow. Forever. That's cool. Now, if we leave it like that, about every Christian in the world says, yeah, but we're in agreement. It's good. That's good. It's still not necessarily the full gospel of the kingdom. Okay? So you take another step and say, okay, let me tell you a little bit more about what that looks like on earth as it is in heaven. Whoa, what's that mean? Well, you have this connection with this God who has given us the Spirit on the inside who can speak to us, and you can hear him, you can have a relationship with him, because, you know, see, Jesus died, and all these things I told you are true, which Jehovah's Witnesses say they believe. But inside, the Spirit of the living God who comes to live inside of you that has saved you and speaks to you and leads you will enable you to step into wonders, signs, miracles, healing, deliverance, wholeness, and changing of the thinking and the mind and the body and all of the supernatural things that take place. And God says, do you walk in the full gospel of the kingdom? Are you able to step in and offer that to people? It's important. It's very important because the Lord says, for anyone who might feel pushed or pulled or influenced a certain way, the Lord says, you, not just frontline, but you, my children, are commanded by me to go and preach the gospel of the kingdom, where you heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. But when you cast out demons, let's say, it's not just going to be a lady who has shackles around her ankle. It's going to be so filled, what's going to happen is you'll be so filled with the presence of the Lord bringing heaven to earth that you will be able to know when something is not heavenly. It doesn't mean a person is wrong or bad, I should say. It means that there might be an interruption for that person that they cannot see. But if you are not filled up with the power and the Spirit of God, you won't be able to see. You think you see, but you may not be able to fully see because the Holy Spirit will lead. And so in the gospel of the kingdom, it's really significant and important to be able to hold fast to the fullness of what that looks like, because it's a place that God will take us where we will want to have burnt flesh. We want to lay down and say, I'm dying. I'm dead. Kill me dead. I want to be so dead to myself that the only thing that I can see and hear and feel and think will be you. And that will be the way of releasing us from anything that is trying to keep us from our destiny. That's the gospel of the kingdom. And then as we move in that realm, then we're able to see that in a good way for others and in others to help them in a kind, loving way, but also a way that will make a difference. Now, here's something. Now, this is not a believer. This is a human being. Bellari, for example. I remember years ago on a team that he came to a couple of our crusades, and he tried to do some things that he was able to do with his magic arts in the spirit. And he tried, even then, against some of us, and I was one holding the mic at the time. Well, I'm not thinking that way. I'm thinking about Jesus at that moment. But some of those around me, one in particular, from Ghana actually, saw in the spirit something that he was trying to do. In other words, there was a clashing of the kingdoms, and he was trying to do something. And so she was used to rise up and cancel that and stop it in the spirit. That sounds a little hokey and weird, you know, to people who don't understand that. But it certainly was helpful for me. And I was able to continue on, give the gospel of the kingdom, and see what God was doing. If Bellari at that time would have listened, because he heard the same gospel, he heard the same message. If he would have listened, he might be alive today, and he might be in our Kingdom Bible School today. But he didn't listen, and he stayed connected to darkness because he didn't get free. And so that's an example, but it shows you that love wins, and when there's love and peace and joy and kindness, okay, it's very intentional. And so when I was talking to Bellari all those years ago, I said to him, I knew exactly, I believe, what was going on in the spirit, but I said, you need Jesus. Gave him the same message, but his intent wasn't helpful. And so he didn't listen. Now, with any of us as believers, we may say our intent is always helpful because I care, I want things to look a certain way, feel a certain way, or whatever it would be. But when it comes down to righteousness from God's eyes, he makes no, there's no difference in the heart of the Lord. There is either righteousness or unrighteousness from God. It doesn't matter what we say, doesn't matter what we think, it doesn't matter what we feel. It's ultimately what does the Holy Spirit say, what does the Father say. And so what he cares about the most is that we wouldn't have anything that would keep us from the fullness of the righteousness. Okay? So I believe every person sitting in here wants to live that way. I know I do. And I want to hear the Holy Spirit, right? And you want to hear the Holy Spirit. So the way to hearing the Holy Spirit is to lay down and completely die to yourself, okay? And be willing to be vulnerable and open to what the Holy Spirit is saying. If we're not hearing what he is saying, if he's speaking, when he's speaking, I should say, he's always speaking. If we are not hearing what he is saying, he will do something to get our attention because he loves us so much, because he cares. He doesn't want us to be confused. He doesn't want us to be looking at things in a way that wouldn't bring us into a higher place in the spirit. He doesn't want that. He wants the very best for us. So he will continue to get our attention if we will let him. If he tries, as he tries to give his attention or get our attention about certain things in our life in one way, and we don't partner with what he's saying, we actually can empower the very thing that we connect with, whatever it is. It might be an idea, it might be a thought, it might be an opinion, it might be something that we do, you know, for our health. Let's suppose, you know, I don't want to get into health things right now, it's not about kingdom health, but I believe that he's saying, be careful what you connect with for your mind, your will, your emotions, because they're so strong. I mean, how many times have we ever looked at something and said, I know I'm right, I know I'm right, I know I'm right, and the Lord eventually says, I know you really want to be, but you're not. You know, I mean, isn't that true? And so God wants us to be able to see that and be humble enough to say, maybe I'm not. Help me. And that's a safe place to be for any of us. And we'll experience more freedom that way. And so sometimes we may go to each other. Sometimes we may read a book. Sometimes we may do different things. And in and of that, ourselves, that's not necessarily wrong if the Lord's leading that. However, we have to get our, it can be, because it depends on what the, you know, what it is or who it is. But what happens on the inside is that if we don't connect with what the Spirit is saying at that moment about a situation or a person or a feeling or an emotion or a sickness in your body or whatever it is, we may not hear the blessing from heaven. We might become numb to the blessing of heaven. We might absolutely convince ourselves or be convinced because we have empowered the very thing that the Lord might be trying to get to. That's a dangerous place for any person. Last week, or I think it was last week, I guess, I was speaking about David. And I want to tell you, God gave me a revelation that I wanted to share with you. I was thinking about King David, and I believe that he was saying that we are King David's, in a sense, in this place, and that we're worshipers, and we exalt the Lord, and we want everything that he has, and we're not stopping. And that's true. I believe it. Excuse me. If you want to turn in your Bibles for just a minute to 2 Samuel chapter 12, I want to point something out to you, because I feel that God wants to do something here. This is so good. Because God, the Lord doesn't want us to miss anything, and he wants us to really hear his heart, so that when we stand for joy, peace, love, kindness, righteousness, that we don't stop short of the rest of the gospel of the kingdom. Because if we stop short, we might miss the blessing that he's trying to give us. And think of it as a hindrance rather than a blessing. Okay? So it might come, again, directly from the Lord, or it might not. Okay, meaning directly or he speaks to you, or someone else is used by the Lord to speak. But in 2 Samuel 7, there's a passage of scripture where there's a prophet that comes to David and tells him, hey, David, there's something here that's not going to be helpful for you. And in that situation, God wants us to know that David was already missing what God was saying. He was already in a place where he had not heard the voice of the Lord. And that's something that, you know, the Lord was speaking to me last week, and he said, it's really important, because David was a man after his own heart, and David was going down into a very dangerous place, and David needed to listen to the Lord, or he would not have been able to fulfill the rest of his destiny the right way. He may have encountered more snakes in the grass, if you will. He may have encountered things that were really, really difficult. And God cared about that. And he cared about his kingdom. Cared about the person and cared about his kingdom. So sometimes when we read about David's fall with Bathsheba and then killing Uriah the Hittite, it's like, rah, wow, that's pretty drastic. How could that even happen? But with that in mind, think about this, that our God is a God who's close and personal. Now, the Lord didn't live inside of David at that time, but he came upon him. He was very close to him, and he said, you know me, and I've chosen you, and I've gifted you, okay? And you're not paying attention to what I say. And that's part of the love and the mercy and the kindness. And this man came to him and said, I'm sorry, but what is happening here isn't working for the Lord. He didn't say it's not working for me. He said it's not working for the Lord, and I've got a message. And when I mentioned that last week, you know, I don't know how people receive that for themselves, but I believe that God is saying that in our attempt to carry the gospel of the kingdom to the four corners of the earth, to see redemption for life take off to the nations, for rescuing kids out of human trafficking and adults and other areas of atrocity, and the things that we're doing all over the world and increasing here, okay, that he's saying, I see a company of people who want to go low. I see a company of people who want to be transparent, who want to be vulnerable, who want to be filled with righteousness, overflowing with righteousness. It's like, oh, that makes me happy. I believe that revival, we're on the precipice of revival here, and the Lord is saying, don't let anything stop that for you. Don't let anything steal that away for you. Don't let anything interrupt that. And if it doesn't come through something that you can see with your eyes easily, don't be a fool and think that it won't try to come in a way that you can't as easily see. Are we okay? Oh, and the baby's okay? Oh, good. You're fine. Okay, good. Troy's okay. And Seth's all right. That's good. Praise God. So, you know, this is, for me, it draws me ever closer to the Lord, because I know that revival is his idea. I know that revival is his thought. I know that revival is what he wants to do. And so it's exciting, but it also comes with a price. Like, oh, Lord, I'm willing to go so low that no matter what, you're first. And even if it feels funny inside, I am going to say why. and then I'm going to go low and let you take me apart first. And that's what David needed to do. Unfortunately, David needed to do that before he had sex with Bathsheba. He didn't do it. He needed to do that after he didn't. He needed to do that before he was thinking about killing Uriah the Hittite. And he didn't. And he didn't even after. So it's like, what the heck? So God knew that the timing for him to hear was coming upon him. And so he prepared Nathan somehow. I don't know how. And as I mentioned last week, dream, vision, whatever. But here's what the Lord showed me. And I said a little bit of it last week, but I just want to give it to you. Well, this is really good stuff. I was so excited. I called Brazil and I was like, I got to tell you about this. This is so, so excited. In verse 5, if you'd look at chapter 12, okay, this is significant. David's anger burned greatly against this man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die. Okay, now do you know what he was talking about when he said that David's anger burned against the man? The anger inside of David was coming from one aspect of the throne. One aspect. The throne has two foundations. What are they? Righteousness and justice are the foundations of the throne, correct? And so inside of David, there was this, inside this David, there was this burning of, wow, I can't believe you gave me this, possibly true story, of this guy, this rich guy, this poor guy, and this rich guy took advantage of the poor guy, and I'm standing for justice. I'm standing for justice. How dare he do that? And his anger burned. And you know what? That wasn't a bad thing, but it wasn't balanced because there were two parts to the throne, and God knew it. And he was trying to say, David, I love you, and I love your heart for wanting to see something stop. I love your heart for wanting to see justice in the land. That's great, because I gave you that heart. But it will never go where you think. It will never accomplish what you want. It won't, because there's another side. And the other side of it is righteousness, and you're missing it because you have dismissed that. You've been blinded to it, but in the righteous area, or in the justice area, I'm going to use with you exactly what stirs in your heart. And that is, yeah, you know, I want to do this. I want to see this or that. So here's an example for you and me. I want to see God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, of course. I want to give the gospel of the kingdom out. Yes. All right, Jesus died. Jesus rose. Ah, Jesus did this, and you can be saved, healed, delivered, and you can be free. Yes. And God will say, I like that about you. That's a ferocity that I burned in you. But if you want to see the fullness of that, and you want to make sure that you don't go down a path that starts going to the right instead of to the left, you have to understand what that heavenly purpose will be from the Lord. And that is for us to experience heaven. And that will be through righteousness and justice, the foundations of his throne. In other words, we are not going to tap into the throne of God. We are not. If we don't take a look at both, if we say, you're right, you know, I need justice, I want to be gentler and kinder and nicer, and you know, and I need to do this and I need to do that, and that's a good thing. But what if Nathan went to David at God's appointed time and he said, you know, I just think that maybe, you know, I don't know if you realize you're in sin or not, but it's really not a good thing. And I know you like God's love, so I just want to make sure it's okay. Are you okay? Maybe that wouldn't have been God's love for him. Probably not, because it's in the Bible the other way. Do you see? It wasn't God being harsh. It was God being God, loving, kind, merciful. Okay? Because Nathan, I believe, was filled up with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit came on him, and he heard the timing, And he also heard the word, and he knew what to do. And then he was used to go in. And fortunately for David, he listened because there was power behind it. And God will give us many attempts. God will give us a chance. God will give us, you know, opportunities for us to say yes, yes, and yes. And if we don't listen, then things may not go so well for us, and we might be rather miserable. Miserable in our thinking, miserable in our emotions, and it won't be something we can even see, but it might just be how we feel. Because honestly, in these last days, where would the enemy want to hit us? In the places we can't see. Because that's the way he could more easily stop us. Can you see that? And that's why it's so important to say, Lord, I want to touch heaven, righteousness and justice, both. The foundations of your throne. Wow. So when, I like this. God's intent was to pull David out, because he said, this is going to hurt my David and hurt the cause of Christ. Hurt my kingdom. But I also care about David. I care about David. And what would be the most creative way? Can you see God trying to figure this out? And David still had a choice because of love. But God trumped something, and he brought Nathan into it. So, you know, that's where you say, God, I don't understand. But I believe God has a message for us. He's saying, I love you so much, I'm not going to leave you the way you are. And if it takes me all the way to the day of your last breath, I'm going to keep revealing my love to you. And my love to you will be revealed through justice and righteousness. So what we want is righteousness flowing out of us, along with our stand for doing things right, whether it's gift of Christmas, whether it's teaching children here, whether it's ministering to people in our family, or whatever it is, because the enemy is very strong, and he is very crafty. He is. But if we are tapping heaven, we'll be able to see it. We'll be able to see. And if we can't see, others, God has others who can, and we want to become like that and say, God, I want to see, I want to hear. And I believe that Nathan, who did suffer some consequences, David, who suffered some consequences, was also completely wrecked. Can you imagine what that looked like for him when he thought, oh my gosh? And the Bible says that he went to Bathsheba and talked with her about it. Let's just kind of look at this again. It was just on my mind to tell you what the Lord had revealed, because it's so good. He says, even though Nathan said to David in verse 7 and 8 and 9, he says, I have done this and this and this and this for you. Why haven't you listened to me? In verse 13, he says, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also take away your sin, you shall not die. However, now back in the Old Testament, God, there were consequences that were pretty intense. In the day and age that we live in, he is saying, you want to see heaven come to earth in your life? You want to see heaven come to earth in this ministry? More? You want to see heaven come to earth in your family and your finances? Just go down the line with your life. He's saying, we need to touch the throne. And if we don't touch the throne, we can be fooled. We can be, even with our dreams, even with our visions, even about life choices and decisions. It's like, this is too hard. Not really. It's not too hard. He's saying, lay down and die. If you lay down and die, I'm not being mean. It's God. I'm not being mean. I'm telling you, just die. I'm telling you that you'll hear my voice. You'll know the truth, because I'm the Spirit of God who is truth. So I speak truth. You have me. And it's like, well, why? That's so simple. Why? What's the big deal here? We really don't want to do that as humans, because the enemy knows that if we do, we will be able to hear the truth if we die, and we'll be able to discern the truth. And then we'll be able to, use the very love that's overflowing because of it on the inside to be a blessing to others. That's huge. You know, God's not impressed with all the things that we do for Him. He's impressed with our hearts to just lay down and say, here I am. No more what I think. No more what I feel. No more what I'm processing. Because if we don't do that, you can be 100% sure that the enemy will capitalize on that. He has to. That's his job. He has to. So I'm excited about where revival's going for us, because he's looking for the ones who will be very humble. He is. The Lord is. And he's looking for any of us who think we are humble and haven't necessarily submitted that way and taken that step to continue as a lifestyle. He's looking for us to do that, because that's where the power is. That's where the glory is. That's where the demonstration of him will be. And there, in that, there's no confusion. There's never. You're not confused. You see. You may have a little bit of confusion for a second, but then that power starts rising up of the Holy Spirit. The very one who raised Jesus from the dead rises up and says, no, I can speak to you. You can hear me. Isn't that good? That's our confidence in the Lord. That should strengthen us. If anything comes like, even in our process, it's probably a tug of war in our emotional realm and even in our brain. The Lord is saying, this is good, okay, but I need to free you so that righteousness, which is right thinking, right feeling, right living, right perspective, does that make sense? All of it is exactly what he says and does. You cannot lose. You may think, you may not feel as though it could be true or right, but it is, because it's scriptural. And God gave us an example of David and Nathan that way, because God wanted him to know, Nathan or David, I want you to touch, I want you to bring heaven to earth, even in the Old Testament. That's what I want you to do. And you've really gone a different direction, and it probably started a long time ago because you weren't that connected to me. You did good things. You were a good king, but you weren't that connected to me, and you allowed yourself to partner with the very influence that brought you to this place today, but you didn't see it. And I tried to get your attention, but you didn't listen. And so he wants us to listen. He wants us to stay really close to the fire. And when we are close to the fire, we won't stumble. And we won't influence others to stumble either. We won't. Because we'll have this fear of God. Not fear of being right, but fear of God. And that fear is a holy fear. It is huge. And that will take you to the nations. More. And out on the streets. See? It's such a fun place to be, because in that place is total joy, in the place of surrender. On Tuesday night, we're going to close. On Tuesday night, we had a wave of the Holy Spirit come through here. I really encourage you. It's no demand. I encourage you to come if you're not able to. I don't know who's here, who's not. So don't say she's thinking and looking at me. I'm not. I'm making a statement. There was a wave of the Spirit that was so powerful on Tuesday. I think it was unprecedented, actually. It's like, whoa. The fear of you is all over me, Lord. And I was so strengthened and so encouraged, because people were taking the Holy Spirit so seriously. It's like, whoa, Lord, here, you're here. And you're cleansing, you're cleaning, you're doing for me what Nathan did for David, if I let it. And I want that. Oh, I want that. And when we're healthier, okay, we're going to say, God, I want more of that. I just want to be in your presence, because you feel the love. There's no condemnation in that. Because Romans 8:1 tells us there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. That means there's no condemnation in the Holy Spirit, but there is a cleansing fire, and it's part of the end time revival. It's part of it. And that's the righteousness that God wants to reveal inside of us, okay? And he's saying, you don't go down like a toad on the ground that's smashed. You may feel like it because you're mourning sin, but it's not what God's doing. He's saying, I need to cleanse you, purify. Just purify more and more. Not because I'm mean, but because I'm loving and kind and good. So let's just finish by singing I Exalt Thee. I think that's a good idea. There's a dying world out there. And the Lord says, I want my mighty warriors, like Peter, to develop those strong roots that will not be shaken. No matter what you hear, you think, you see, you feel, if you're an emotionally based person, praise God that you've got such cool emotions that you feel God's love. But if you are led by that instead of exactly what he's saying and doing, the enemy will capitalize on those beautiful emotions. So God wants to heal them. God wants to strengthen them. So we're not led by them. We're led by the Spirit of God. Amen? That's good. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of the throne. Sometimes he will tell us to be quiet. Sometimes he will tell us to speak. But he will tell us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's exalt the Lord. And if there's something that you desire to offer to the Lord, say to the Lord, this is where love comes down. This is what love is, love does. And then you're just free to leave. Whenever. There's no more extra message. Okay? That's it. And she's, oh, you have an extra message? An announcement, you mean? Okay, want to give it real quick so that people can leave? Not leave, worship?
It's just a continuation of the donation room that Kim was talking about earlier. Also, the people that signed up for the donation room, there was a slip in the back. Well, for some reason, they can't find it. So those that signed up, go ahead and there's another slip out there. So go ahead and sign up again. Thank you very much for that. Also, TLC is not going to be providing as much clothing this year. So if anybody wants to donate, go ahead and make sure they're clean and in a bag, and just bring it in here before December 1st. Let's see, and I'm trying to think, and that could be infants to adults. Men's clothing. Men's clothing definitely, because we usually run out of that, and bigger size clothing also. Please remember to sign up. Please remember again to sign up on the sheet for any kind of help, whether it be shopping or donation or whatever. And it'll be back in the back room again. So sorry, we can't find it. So thank you.
So Lord, we just thank you for the privilege of exalting you. And Lord, as we continue to receive heaven coming to earth, Lord, that righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. And Lord, that includes what I think, what I believe, what I feel, what I speak, what I feel I am sure of. All of those things, Lord, because those are the places that you want to touch in my body, my mind, my will, my emotions. I thank you, Lord, that tonight or this morning as we exalt you, that we are going to be fortified and determined, that we are unshakable, unmovable like you, and that you're taking us to a place where you're shaking everything that can be shaken on the inside of us. That's where we've been in this season, and it's somewhat uncomfortable, but that's okay. So I thank you, Lord, for that uncomfortable time that can bring us into a place of rallying with fire and with increased anointing, and there's no other way. So thank you for that. Thank you for that purification as we exalt you in Jesus' name. I invite you, if there's been anything that you feel in the spirit that you have agreed with, that is is something that God is speaking to you about, it's really important, because these messages that God gives are from his heart and he's speaking. So I just really encourage you right now to take that seriously and not shrink back. Don't shrink back. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm hearing you, because I believe that he has spoken to many of us and he's still speaking, but he's very serious and he wants all of us to be able to participate in what he's doing. And he's thrilled that we all have a history and a past and a heritage, whatever it is, but he's also very serious about what he's doing right now. And so let's cooperate with what he says and what he's doing, not what we think, feel, or wonder about, okay? So let's all exalt the Lord and just let God have his way with us. Desire the holy fear of you, Father, which brings us into a new place of understanding your love, understanding your kindness, understanding your ways of bringing us into full understanding, full spiritual revelation of righteousness and justice. Father, I thank you that David, wanting to administer justice from heaven to earth, as much as he knew, was absolutely hit right between the eyes, in the middle of his heart, so that he would be saved out of further disaster, because the righteousness wasn't there. But the justice heart that you had given him, O God, the justice heart needed to come into relationship and in tandem with the fullness of righteousness. And I thank you, Lord, that as a king who administered justice now, Father, that we are kings and priests, and you're telling us, Lord God, in this season, rise and seek after my righteousness on every front and every way. Thank you, Lord, that we are your chosen ones here, Lord, to bring and usher in revival. We lay ourselves down and exalt you this day. And justice, your throne, O God. There's no darkness in your throne, no negativity at your throne, no deception on your throne, no criticism at your throne, no judgment at your throne. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Only righteousness and peace together. Thank you, Lord. Let it be. Call out your freedom, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We call in revival here in this region. We call in revival of our own hearts. Revival, Spirit, come. 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 We call right now for an outpouring and a downpouring of your power and your Spirit. Oh, Lord, we lift up our voices and cry out for that revival. First in our life, first in our life and then for the region, in our mind, in our will, in our emotions. Yay! Lord, that we're determined to walk with the mind of Christ. And strong emotions, strong constitution, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We bless your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day. God bless you.